sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of the people down by the tabernacle and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world.
Honors of thy name.
Most unusual thing, how the Wesley brothers preach the love of God. They came riding into town as the sun was going down, just to hear them sing and preach. Folks would come from miles around. There was prayer and there was power. There were blessings like a shower when the Wesley brothers preached the love of God. The love of God.
Now they're gone and times have changed, and the Wesley brothers sleep. But their message still is heard, where steeples rise and ivy creeps. And a million saints in glory sing and tell the wonder story, how the Wesley brothers preach the love of God. The love of God. Unusual thing, how the Wesley brothers preach the love of God. How the Wesley brothers preach the love of God.
That was the people down by the tabernacle singing about the Wesley brothers and the love of God. What are we going to do now? That's the title of today's message. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is John chapter 14, verses 8 through 14. Now Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Amen. Now I can tell you, Sergeant Angel was really rough and he was tough on us. We were recruits going through basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia. They called him Angel. Well, one afternoon I learned why he was called Angel. Our sergeant was a veteran of two wars and had seen a lot of frontline action, including two Purple Hearts. But I can tell you that in training he sounded and acted like anything but an angel. Well, it was raining, and it was cold, and it was muggy, and it was our first real two-day overnight march. Well, just before dark, they led us out of that diesel-powered personnel carrier. We checked our maps and our compasses and our packs and all of that, but all I knew for sure that my wife was 600 miles away, and I was somewhere in the pine trees in August in South Georgia. angel's parting words to us were, he said, "Men, keep your ears open for rattlesnakes." Now, the truth is that that part of South Georgia is rattlesnake territory. They even have rattlesnake roundup tournaments. I mean, it's incredible. The rain was beating on my steel helmet. Now, friends, have you ever tried to listen for the noise of a rattlesnake in the dark, in the rain, while someone was dripping water on your head over the top of a steel pan? Well, it was a very long walk and a very long night. I thought so many times that night, if Sergeant Angel were here, he would tell us how to go and which way to turn and what to do if we did get bitten by one of those snakes. I also thought about how carefully and how painstakingly our angel sergeant had tried to teach each one of us how to survive alone at night in the midst of danger. In my own mind, I connected that night with this lesson for today. You see, Jesus was telling his good friends and followers that he was about to leave them. And I think I can hear Philip saying in his mind, "What in the world are we going to do now? I guess I'll go back to fishing. What about you, James? What, you want to go with me? And maybe we can get our old boat back." And you see, Jesus had told them that he was going to be with the Father. And Philip remembered, but he said, "Jesus, this is so hard to understand. Who is the Father? I mean, where is the Father? Or what does he look like?" "Well, Jesus, could you just show us the Father so we can at least get a grip on our situation?" Now, friends, understand, this was not a lack of faith on Philip's part, but he simply did not yet understand the big picture. Now, you and I have had 2,000 years of history pointing to this understanding. But I think, quite frankly, that there are a lot of us today that still don't quite understand. Now, just imagine in your own mind that you're Philip or any of those disciples that night in the upper room. Think about the three things that Jesus said to them. Now, this is not a three-point sermon, but there are three things that he said is very important. First, he said, "Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. In fact, Philip, if that's hard to believe, just think about all the things you've seen me do. Have you ever seen anyone else do those things?" "Well, Philip, just believe in the works that your eyes have seen me do." Now, that's the easy part. The next thing Jesus said was, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth." Now, Philip knew that God's Spirit, given to certain individuals, like in the Old Testament prophets, was there, but he had never heard of the Spirit of God going out to all people. Now, do you remember the third thing he said? He said, "Philip, you're not going to be alone, but you will be able to do greater things than I have done." Now, Philip must have been speechless. All in one short conversation, Jesus is going to leave them, go to the Father that looks and acts just like Jesus. He's going to send God's Spirit upon them. And remember now that in the minds of these disciples, they were still basically fishermen and carpenters and tax collectors and not highly revered prophets of their ancestry who had the Spirit of God within them. And not only that, he told them that they were going to do greater things than he was able to do. I can just hear Sergeant Angel saying to us in that dark night, "Now I'm going to leave you here tonight because you will be able to do all this better than I can do." I remember a few weeks later we were on the firing range, and to my surprise, I had just won first place in our platoon and second place in our company of 600 men. Sergeant Angel had taught me how to fire the M1 rifle. He came to me and he shook my hand and he said, "Private Wolf, I've been in the Army 25 years, but I've never scored as high as you have today in any time in my career. Congratulations." Now, I want you to think what happened to that handful of frightened disciples that day. You see, Jesus had ministered to and taught a few thousand people. Because those disciples claimed the power he gave to them that day, they were able to minister to and teach many thousands more, who in turn have reached millions and millions and millions and millions of people across 20 centuries. Now, some of you will know who I'm talking about. A young woman named Virginia, a college student then at Asbury College, met a boy named Burley. They fell in love, and Burley claimed God's call on his life to go to the mission field in the Congo. Burley was never ordained, but he was a pilot. He was one of those persons who could fix anything. Burley was murdered one afternoon while trying to take supplies and medicine to the very people who had killed him. Heartbroken, but not broken-spirited, Virginia returned to the United States, and I met her after she had written her first book entitled Appointment Congo. Through her book, her countless speeches, and her witness of life, Virginia has influenced thousands and thousands and thousands of lives across the world. Her children have ministered in Africa through teaching and medicine. Through them, her ministry continues to grow. Today, Virginia is married to Don Shell. She's not in very good health right now, but their ministry as together has felt in so many places in the world. countless people in the world today are Christians because of this young woman. Now, during his ministry, Jesus restored the hearing of scores of unnamed persons. Did you know that the United Methodist Men started a project about 8 years ago, and they began to collect old hearing aids? They had them restored, and then they sent them out to schools like in Haiti and in Russia and other places in the world. The project has continued to grow. This started with men in the Texas Conference, the United Methodist Church. Can you imagine what it was like when these young people, particularly children, received these hearing aids in schools that they were able to learn? Can you imagine the joy on a child's face who has never been able to hear his or her parent and hear their voice for the first time? And you know, that ministry continues to grow. They are doing far more than Jesus was able to do. President Jimmy Carter is known across the world for his remarkable capacity to bring, you know, dissonant world leaders together for dialogue and peace. I heard him say one afternoon that the principles for living and faith that have guided him his whole life came mostly from his mama and his Sunday school class in a little church, a little Baptist church in Plains, Georgia. Now, while most persons know him as a former president of the United States and a world leader for peace, many folks do not know that he has a tremendous passion to stamp out world hunger and disease. Did you know that primarily through his work and his resources and deep compassion for people, Jimmy Carter played the major role in stopping blindness caused by the bite of the guinea worm? Thousands of persons across some 16 countries in Africa are now able to see because of the Christ he learned about from his mother and that little church in South Georgia, a little rural church. You know, Jimmy Carter has influenced the world. Literally, one man from a little town has influenced the world. Isn't that incredible? Sergeant Angel retired as a master sergeant. Some of the young men he trained have become generals in the Army. You know, their decisions influence national security. In fact, the security for the whole world. You know, you and I today, as people of faith, have the capacity and the power to influence the whole world for good for Christ. Now, we could say, what are we going to do now? Or we can say, this is what we are going to do in the world now. And we have to ask ourselves, what will you say? Amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
Yes, dear friends, the people of Christ are known for their service in Jesus' name. They're following Jesus and obeying Jesus and being his hands and his feet and his heart and his love in the world. What in the world are you doing today for God, for Christ? John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you so much. You know, it's amazing when you consider that in America we have over 1,000 different Christian denominations. I mean, that's really incredible. Each one of us has a different style of organization and various theological differences. It's really hard to comprehend that because we all have Jesus at the center of our understanding. But one thing I do know is that of all the different churches I know about, they all have missions as part of who they are. The key task of any church is to spread the gospel and to care for one another and to care for everyone they can reach outside the church. I know that in our church alone, we have sent teams to Africa, Mexico, hurricane relief, disaster groups, and so many local missions. But I hope in this season we have right now, this place of so much chaos in the world, that the church across the world, would come together as one mighty force of hope and healing and not allow our differences to hold us back. One of our reconciliation team members is a Catholic priest. He goes by the name of Chaco. He said, John, on the mission field, we operate as one. We forget our denominational differences because our work is so difficult. We need each other to be able to do it. What a great word for all of us to remember. And I want to thank you today for being with us on Methodist Hour. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com, MethodistHourInternational.com. You can call or text me on my cell, direct to me, 678-488-2162. 678-488-2162. And I really appreciate the texts that have come to me. Blessings be upon all of you. In his name, amen.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.